Minerva Radio. Less mainstream, more music.
Greetings and a very warm welcome to this, our latest edition of Brock and Roll with me, Mike Brocken, here on MinervaRadio.uk. I was thinking only the other day that it's almost 20 years since myself and my family were caught in Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And it was a truly life-changing experience, something which no doubt TV companies are already planning to offer up as programmes during the summer. But the memory of that terrible natural disaster has never really overpowered me. Because in the week before it made landfall, loads of friendly and helpful New Orleans were just great to us. And also, they helped me with my research, which is why I stupidly decided to visit the city during hurricane season. Well, that's a really good idea, wasn't it? I'd gone for two reasons, really. Firstly, concerning jazz pioneer Buddy Bolden. I was looking into some of his life. And secondly, to talk to the nice people at Sansu Studios about their work and releases, etc. And in the first week, I completed what I'd set out to do regarding Buddy Bolden, and I found his grave, actually, and was lined up to go to Sansu in week two. Week three would be strictly a holiday. Actually, by the end of week two, Sansu had been completely destroyed by Katrina, and we were flying home, actually, from Dallas by that stage. Anyway, nevertheless, as we said, the people and the music have long outlived the experiences, so I thought we should play some great Sansu music and mix it with a selection of second-hand singles I purchased in New Orleans during that first week. So let's begin with a Sansu classic written by the great Alan Toussaint and released on his Sansu label in 1973 by Aaron Neville. This is Hercules.
Is fear itself. Check out your own backyard before you check out someone else. Railroad track in my neighborhood. Ain't no trains around that bar, just ain't no good. Wanna know what's going down. On the corner, looks like the sharpest cat in town. Jungle rule, can't be no fool. Might get caught by the hook of a crook. Hard time for cool. Look out, Jake, what you say, what you carrying, brother. I hope you're clean, cause the man is mean. But don't come another further. We all know the answer will come out in time. I might even carry some of your load right along with mine. Thank you, man, Mr. Flea, cause I must be Hercules. I must be Hercules. Like a bird on the wing, just wanna be free enough to do my thing. I can feel the pressure from every side. If you're not gonna help, don't hurt, just pass me by. Must be Hercules. Jungle Roo can't be no fool. Devil is on the loose, no cool. Got your feet in the sand. Got to be down with the cats ever around, and still got to face the man. Talk about me if you please, but I must be Hercules, Hercules. I must be Hercules. Ducking rocks, catching stone. Newton, how can I survive? What's going on? Tomorrow. Somehow I've got to make it till tomorrow. Can't depend on no one else. Coming up the hard way, I've got to save myself. Must be Hercules. Must be Hercules. Talk about me if you please. I must be Hercules.
Oh, great. You get the feeling that they just ended it, you know, because otherwise it'd be going on all night, wouldn't it? Aaron Neville. Fantastic Aaron Neville. What a voice. And Hercules, written by Alan Toussaint and released by Sansu in 1973. And of course, Aaron Neville is not only a renowned solo artist, but also worked with his three brothers in the Neville Brothers, and they made some great stuff in New Orleans as well. Great family band. Let's have another excellent Sansu single now, this time from Lee Dorsey, whose biggest hits with Alan Toussaint came in the 1960s. First of all, with Ya Ya in 1961, a favourite to John Lennon's, apparently. And fantastic, just a great song, Working in the Coal Mine from 1966. Do you remember that? I always liked that. And I always liked Holy Cow as well, and Get Out of My Life, Woman, which were both Lee Dorsey songs as well. But they were less successful over here. And like the Neville Brothers, he was a New Orleanian born, but he moved to Portland as a kid, I think. And he served in the US Navy, did Lee, during World War II, then became a professional boxer, before returning to New Orleans in the early to mid-50s, and he started his recording career in 1958. A lot of different labels mainly, but certainly sticking around the Sansu stables quite a lot. So this next Lee Dorsey track, I've always felt anyway, was way ahead of its time. Another Alan Toussaint number from 1969 in this case. This is Lee Dorsey and Give It Up.
Oh, give it to me. Give it to me.
A genuine forgotten treasure, isn't it, that one? Oh, so ahead of its time. Alan Toussaint's Give It Up, recorded by Lee Dorsey in 1969. Instrumental backing by The Meters. You know that name? Fantastic. And the track originally came out on Amy Records, which was, I think was reabsorbed into Bell in those days. So you found it distributed across the US on Amy, but recorded at the Sansu Stewart Studios. Little to no promotion, probably. Sansu production classic, though, through and through, with Alan Toussaint at the helm. I mean, for me, Alan Toussaint was one of popular music's greatest backroom figures. I've no doubt about that. I love practically all Toussaint-produced material, such as Give It Up, you've just heard. But I think my all-time favourite must be Dr. John's Right Place, Wrong Time, which I haven't brought with me today, because that was out on Atlantic Records as well. But we must play Right Place, Wrong Time by Dr. John the Night Tripper at one of these days. I've got it in a single. My singles boxes are just on the other side of the mic there, so I'll dig it out for you to listen to. Anyway, while wandering around the Bourbon Street District in New Orleans 20 years ago, before the hurricane came, I popped in and out of several secondhand record shops in 2005. Vinyl had not yet reached its resurgence period, so, you know, if you were patient, you could travel through boxes and boxes of singles all day, you know, and really, you know, get things for a bargain. I found an interesting 45, for example, on the Jewel Ron label. That's R-O-N-N and Jewel, you might know that label, which was based in Shreveport, not too far from New Orleans in Louisiana. And it was by a singer called Ted Taylor. Now, Ted Taylor had been around for quite some time with some successes on the US R&B charts. And the single I found, and I still have actually, was this little classic from 1970. It's called Something Strange Is Going On in My House. Oh, isn't that great? That's Ted Taylor. Really good. Popular in the Louisiana area generally, but right across the states, you know, as well. Very collectible over here by the mid-70s, I would say. And it's not Northern Soul, but certainly like rare groove collectors would be very interested. Ted Taylor. And I remember the guy in the shop, I asked him to play it for me. And he looked at me funny, you know, as if to say, you don't know who Ted Taylor is. He didn't say anything. He said, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. And it was in great condition. And it cost me $1. So I've still got it somewhere. Really good. Ted Taylor, there's something strange going on in my house. And you know what the story's going to be, don't you? Okay, let's return to Sansu Studios now. Sansu was the house band, had the house band The Meters, as I mentioned before. And this next just glorious track, Tippy Toes, I actually picked up on an Island single way back in the 1970s in Liverpool, actually. It was originally released in 1970, but then came out again in the mid-70s as the B-side of Chicken Strut. And it's just as The Meters were starting to become, you know, quite important over here, their popularity was growing. So I thought I'd play you this one, just as a good example of one of the great house bands of all time, really. This is The Meters and Tippy Toe. Great sound of New Orleans funk there, early as well, you know, quite early in the growth of funk, you might say. And that's The Meters, Tippy Toes. Incredible stuff. Really identifiable, unique funk sound of New Orleans. Not really replicated at all anywhere else, really, at least to my ears, in any case. Nobody quite sounded like Ziggy Medalisti, George Porter Jr., Leo Nicantelli, and of course, another Neville, Art Neville. It was his band, really, and they were the house band at Sansu, otherwise known as The Meters. I was only thinking while I was looking through my singles, another great single I purchased in the Bourbon Street area a few days prior to Hurricane Katrina was this next one. Not from the city, but apparently from the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina, believe it or not. They were called Brief Encounter, and I'd heard them. I think maybe somebody on Radio City might have played them because they had some good soul shows on City in the old days, didn't they? And it might have been a City release. But anyway, they released a few singles during the mid to late 1970s, did Brief Encounter, none of which did anything. But I had a half memory of this next one being played also at the back of the Moon Club in Liverpool. So it could have been Billy Butler that was playing brief encounter. Anyway, it's all these old memories. So for a couple of books, I saw it in another different shop in Bourbon Street. I purchased it. And it's a lovely example, really, of what DJs these days call a rare groove. This is Brief Encounter and Human. Absolutely love that. I'll never get tired of hearing that. Brief Encounter from North Carolina and Human. I wonder if the Brand New Heavies had heard that one before they started. Because it does sound like that groove that they picked up on. It sounds very similar to that. And that was a song I picked up in New Orleans in 2005 for the princely sum of $2. And it reminded me so much of what I'd heard back in Liverpool in the mid-70s. And I think it would either have been Radio City on the one hand and or Billy Butler playing some records at the back of the Moon Club, which was just off Bold Street in a lovely club. Nobody ever went to it apart from me and a few of my mates, you know. So it didn't last very long, but it was a lovely club. Good that. Brief Encounter by and their song Human, which I think became a reasonable regional hit in the Carolina area. Okay, I bought the Brief Encounters single alongside this next one too, which you might know possibly. The singer is Anne Sexton, and it's called Colour My World Blue.
My world is blue without you, babe. I still thank the Lord above for you, baby. When you came into my life, you made everything alright, just to make me happy. You served me hand and foot and did everything it took, just to make me happy. I like a fool, I did you wrong, boy. Now it's hard for me to
by myself in New Orleans, secondhand, for about a dollar or two in 2005, but recorded in Nashville, actually, for Soundstage 7 Records back in the 70s. That's Anne Sexton. I don't know if you know Anne's work, but I really like her voice, always liked it. And it's called Colour My World Blue, which the Supremes also recorded once they were without Diana Ross. And that's a good version too, the Motown version, but I prefer Anne's because she sounds more authentic to me. You know, she's got a great sort of growl to her voice, hasn't she? Far less orchestration going on there too. And it's just funkier, you know, just funkier. And that's from 1977. Colour My World Blue. Came from a great album that I haven't seen for years, but I used to get advised to look out for. The album's called The Beginning, and it's one of those great lost late 70s soul albums, which are very, very interesting. You know, they're reflective on what it's like to be an African-American woman in America, etc., etc. You know, so there's some very, very interesting material on the album yet to be found by myself. Okay, back to Sansu Recording Studios now. And, well, this is just a bit more Aaron Neville, really, isn't it? You know, that voice, you just know who it is, don't you? This is Strutting on a Sunday.
Lazy Sunday, ain't no need to worry about working day Monday. Oh, that 9-to-5 grind, gonna leave it all behind. Ain't gonna worry, it's my turn. I'm gonna walk all day in my trouble. Yeah. strutting on Sunday, late Sunday. Ain't gonna worry about a workday Monday with that 9-to-5 grind. I'm gonna leave it all behind.
Classic Aaron Neville, isn't it, man? Really great. What a great vibrato as well. Really interesting stuff. That's with his Sansu-produced single, Strutting on Sunday. Great track, that. And speaking, as we are, of New Orleans and Sansu Studios, where I never made it to, I'll mention that a little bit later on to you, owing to Katrina, of course, and Toussaint and Neville's. You know, it's a real kind of authoritative sound. You can probably tell that on certain records we're hearing the same instruments, we're hearing the same musicians, we're hearing the same arrangements, really. And that became a signature of Sansu Studios, which is what I wanted to talk to everybody about, actually, for my own research. Never got the chance. Never mind. But anyway, it's a good example of this groove that's included in it. Let's have a bit more meters. This is from 1970. Look a pie pie. Okay. great, that is. Could go on all night for me, that. Imagine getting into a groove in a club like that and just sitting there. And it might have even been just that they were riffing on something while waiting for a singer to come into the studios or whatever it was. A great, great riff. And that shows you how funk starts to develop. It's almost like music backwards, isn't it? James Brown is a classic example of tearing the whole thing apart and rebuilding it riff by riff, really, and having the beat be prominent ahead of any melody, really. I think very, very significant stuff. And it's a significant year that Look A Pie Pie came out, 1970, just when these really creative black artists in America are starting to understand how the riff really can help them create, in some respects, a new but old musical form, really. The Meters, Look A Pie Pie from 1970, recorded at Stan Sue, of course. Fantastic. In fact, I now have the funk credo, as Lee Dorsey actually informed me. He said, everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Everything I do gonna be funky.
Just to be myself and do my thing. A little soul can't do no harm.
Yeah.
Everything I do gonna be funky from now on. Yeah.
Everything I do gonna be funky.
Yeah. From now on.
Yeah. Everything I do gonna be funky.
Yeah. From now on. I want to do. So groove with me if you can, or just do what you can do. Oh, shut. Why? I'm on fire. Have I felt so good, just being natural me. Mine are hang up and mine are ties, but deep inside I'm free. So let your hair down and get down with it. Who's to say what's right or wrong? Everything I do gonna be funky from now on. Yeah,
everything I do gonna be funky.
The Sansu recording there, Lee Dorsey. Everything I do gonna be funky from now on. Great, great stuff. Very Spartan. They sound great back to back, don't they? You've just been listening to them back. A very Spartan sound, you know. There's not an awful lot happening. The space is being used in the music to emphasize the musical nature. Really amazing. I mean, you know, what can you do with this stuff except, you know, credit New Orleans, really, in many respects, for, you know, the creation of funk I think across recorded sound in particular, really, in the late 60s and early 1970s. It's indigenous, I'd say, very inventive, and actually it's immaculately done. Those gaps and silences between the little bits of notes are there specifically worked out so that you can feel that funk going through your body, really. Must have been great being a percussionist. It must have been. We mentioned Jewel Records earlier in the show, and alongside Ted Taylor on the Ron Jewel label was a great female vocalist called Tommy Young, Tommy with an IE, Tommy Young. And I picked up a Tommy Young single at a street sale in Canal Street only a couple of days before Katrina struck, and I still have it. Have a listen to this. This is Tommy Young and Hit and Run Lover. Short and sweet, that one, isn't it? Yeah, Tommy Young and Hit and Run Lover. And Tommy was from Dallas, Texas. And I think she might have been more of a gospel singer at one stage, but she recorded it at the studios I was discussing before in Shreveport, the Ron Jewel Studios, which I think were partly owned at least by another artist called Bobby Patterson. And it was issued on their own label. It was also issued on a Soul Power label as well, and became very desirable by soul aficionados over here. It wasn't a hit, but it's one of those things that became collectible. It's sort of around about the time that Northern Soul starts to be recognised retrospectively in the 1970s. And so she sort of fits into that groove for the Northern Soul DJs, even though it's a contemporary song. And in fact, actually, I think some of you will know the Contempo label over here, which was a very, very important label for rare grooves and also reissues. And I think Contempo issued a Tommy Young single or two over here. So if you ever see any of them, pick them up. Very interesting vocalist. But doesn't it show you that there's a big difference between, let's say, 70s disco on the one hand and funk on the other? They've like crammed all sorts of stuff into the Tommy Young. There's an orchestra in there and there's backing vocalists and it's multi-tracked and all that sort of stuff. Doesn't sound quite the same as the Meters, does it? It's a very, very different oeuvre, really, that's going on there. And I think they contrast very nicely when they're played almost back to back, really. Good stuff, that. I like that very much. Okay, let's have another item that I readily associate with my short time in New Orleans. We holidayed for a week, as we say, but then took the best part of a week to get home, I must tell you. Very, very interesting stuff. And it's a single I picked up by Ironing Board Sam, which is great. And I only really picked it up because I thought, oh, that's a great name, and I'd never heard of it. And when the guy sold it to me, he said, you know, ironing board stuff? And I said, no, I don't, you know, and he kind of sold it to me, but, you know, he was sort of like, oh, God, know anything, this Englishman, you know. Anyway, there we go. I found out later. He was a bluesman. In 1962, he was backed by a band that contained the young Jimi Hendrix, apparently. Sam effectively resided in New Orleans, but was popular in other cities across the South, including Nashville during the mid-1960s. And I think he might have done some radio in Nashville at that time as well. And as I said, I found one of his recordings in New Orleans in 2005. It's actually from 1970. It was recorded in New Orleans. And I just, as I said before, I just purchased it because I liked his name. But as it turned out, it's an absolute belter, a great vocalist. So this is Ironing Board Sam and Man of the Street. Absolutely love that. Could only have been made in New Orleans, surely. It's just got that groove right away. And as we said before, those beautiful spaces, the bits where nothing's being played, they're microseconds, aren't they? But they make all the difference. Bass player in there is going do-do-do-do, do-do. And that space is the thing that makes it work, isn't it? Ironing Board Sam and Man of the Street, recorded in New Orleans, although he did record all over the place. And as I mentioned before, he was actually very popular guy with black audiences, mostly, I think, in Nashville, and even recorded a few sides. And I think he may have been on the radio in Nashville, but very, very important guy. Also did a lot of fundraising in New Orleans in the 1970s and 80s. He was a real man of the street in that respect, really. Ironing Board Sam, man of the street. Sounds like the Meters might have been on that one as well, but I don't know, you know. We played a bit of Ted Taylor before, wouldn't you? So let's have a little go again, shall we? This is Ted Taylor. And, well, just take a listen to this. This is great.
Listen, I'm sitting right here in this one-room shack. Funky shoes on my feet, yo. Raggedy clothes on my back. My money ran out, yes it did. So did my friend, yo. But when you're down and out now, that's when your friendship ends. Ha, listen, I'm telling you, it's sad but true. Ain't nothing left for me to do. Oh yeah, I pack a bag and get away from here. How do you walk away from fear? Oh yeah, oh yeah. Listen, I look for a word. Lord knows I've tried. I'm just a poor man, yo. Good God, I'm not qualified. I tried for welfare, but they wouldn't give me none. Pat me on my back. Good God, said I can't help you, son. Listen here, I'm telling you, it's sad but true. Ain't nothing left for me to do. Oh yes, I'll pack a bag and get away from here. But how do you walk away from fear? Oh yeah. Listen, I wrote my folks a letter.
Sounds like they're really enjoying themselves on that one, doesn't it? That's another one of those Jewel Ron tracks from Ted Taylor. What a voice. I didn't announce it because I could never remember what it's called, really. I have to look in my notes because, you know, it's about the sound, isn't it? It's actually called How Can You Walk Away From Fear? But, I mean, who cares? You know, it's just really good. It's a floor filler, isn't it, really? What a voice. I've always liked the sound of his voice. And when I found that in New Orleans in 2005, I was just made up. Didn't know it until I actually managed to keep it on me. We lost all of our luggage, of course, except for the records. And I brought it home and that was on the A side. How Can You Walk Away From Fear? And so that would have been recorded in Shreveport in Louisiana, not too far away from New Orleans. And probably, I don't know this, but it would have done quite well. And I think it's another one of those tracks that's considered, again, as I've mentioned previously, a rare groove in this country and in Europe now. Great, man. Some fond memories, really, but it's just time for me to say fare thee well, really. And thanks for listening to my tribute to the city of New Orleans. and all the people who looked after us before, during and following the destruction of that great city in 2005. I don't include Mayor Ray Nagin in that list, but I do include the reporters from the Daily Express who actually found us in New Orleans, and also the late Garland Ogden of the Louisiana National Guard, who effectively rescued us outside the Superdome. There's a story or two there, isn't there? Yeah, don't always like to remember it really, but I thought I'd share it with you. So anyway, I'll see you soon. And we can't go out without playing the meters again, can we? Ian's just bopping around the studio here. So I'll see you very, very soon. This is Chicken Struck from the Meters. All the best.
Thank you.